Hello and welcome to Stop Hammer Time. My name's Phil Williams. No Jim this week. Jim, after the success of his poem last week, has now become a poet. He's dressed in velvet and is hanging around Lakeside, Thurrock, in a rough with a velvet suit. Just eats opium now all day. Opium followed by absinthe chasers, and writes poems and has dysentery. I want to say, what's that? What's that disease that
diarrhea?
Poets used to get.
Oh no, cholera.
Yeah, cholera. They sort of. So instead of Jim, it's wonderful to have him back. He is writer, broadcaster, speaker of words, and man. More importantly, to this podcast, he is match day announcer at Upton Park. He is Jeremy Nicholas.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. Thank you.
Excellent.
Very much,
yeah. And we have a friend of yours, and now a friend of mine. Because I glom on to anyone who is a friend of yours instantly and treat them as if they are my friend. He is author of the book, the seductively titled An Irrational Hatred of Luton. He is Rob Banks.
Good evening.
Hi, Rob, or Robert Banks for the purposes of publishing books.
Absolutely.
Irrational Hatred of Luton, published first in 1995, republished in 96, and has just been republished again this year. So buy that from your local bookshop, any good bookshop, and some shit ones, store it. So get to, down to those bookshops.
And it'd be an ideal Christmas present for any West Ham fan, wouldn't
exactly.
it?
Rob?
Absolutely,
exactly.
And it's very economically priced.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that later, and... In today's show, we're going to talk about the two games that we played since we last spoke to you. We played Manchester United, and we'll gloat about that. In fact, we're currently occupying seats kept warm by the buttocks of a previous podcast here in the Playback Media offices, the Manchester United podcast.
Now, see, I didn't realise they were Manchester United when we came in, because they all had Southern accents. So I thought it's either Tottenham or Arsenal, but I looked around, didn't recognise Jonathan Creek or anyone. So I thought, who are they? But then it turns out they're Manchester United, and by the time I found out, we'd missed all opportunity to sledging.
Absolutely, absolutely. Live round the corner, you only live round the corner, was the chant at Upton Park during the course of the game last week. It must be every time they play any London team, though. We can't possibly claim that as a victorious London song directed against them. During the course of the podcast, we will talk about that. Also, the game we played at the weekend against Sunderland, and we'll look at forthcoming games, including Manchester City. We also... due to public demand, we have another email from Radoslav Kovac, which we've intercepted, an email to his mum back in the Czech Republic. And we look at Jonathan Spector. Who is he? What is he? Where did he come from?
International midfielder.
No one knows where he appeared from. Well, Jem, you know, but let's
it's America, wasn't it?
America, he came from there. But we'll be looking at the phenomenon of Jonathan Spector and... what he is and why. So that's our podcast today, and let's kick off with the Manchester United game.
Good place to start.
Good place to start. Good, wouldn't it?
Fantastic.
Very exciting. Rob, what do you make of it?
Well, it took me back years to the 4-1 win over Liverpool in the
yes.
Was it the Littlewoods or the Rumbelows or the Carling?
Yeah, the milk some kind of cup.
Yeah. When a certain Paul Ince made his name, I believe.
He did, yeah. He did.
And, of course, we went on to get relegated that year. So I'm going to stop the comparisons at that point.
Absolutely.
And say it was just a fantastic night to be a West Ham fan, wasn't it? And it's one of the reasons why we keep going.
Really, yeah.
Because every now and then something like that comes about that makes it all worthwhile.
Jem, it must be fantastic for you, because you have to... We feel for you on... match days and bad seasons, just because that you have to keep chipper when bad things are happening to us, and you do very successfully.
I just have to sound chipper.
Yes,
inside my heart is bleeding, but as long as I sound happy.
Jeremy, I've always wanted to ask you, why don't you just say, "Oh, and here come West Ham United." Because that's what we think.
It's sheer professionalism on Jem's part.
People often email me and say, "Why don't you just say?" Why would I do that? You know, you've got to...
Okay.
You not only have to announce the man of the match in a game where everyone has played badly except Scott Parker, you also now fairly regularly have to tell the West Ham fans that their tube train, that's the only way they're going to get home, isn't running. It's like you should just now deliver bad news to people.
Yeah. You do have to do that. I tell you what, I thought Spector was the man of the match against Manchester.
He was, yeah.
But they gave it to Carlton Cole.
Yes.
Who scored two the other two goals. But Specs was a revelation, wasn't he?
Because, he was, yeah.
You know, he'd not done terribly well, and he'd been left out the side, and people had been very critical of him. And then he came in, a defender playing in midfield, and was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah,
scored the
great
first two goals, and I thought he deserved it. And when I announced that, because people pay money to sponsor the man of the match, and they get, you know, they paid their money to pick it, and I can't say man of the match, Carlton Cole, but I thought it was Johnny Specs.
Yeah,
because people wouldn't like that very much. But there was a time, really early on, in about my first season as the announcer, when Ian Wright was man of the match every week. And that was just because the people that picked it would then want to have a, want to meet him because he was quite famous.
Yeah, yeah.
And often it would be someone like Mark Reaper, or you know, would actually be the man of the match. And they think, I don't fancy.
Oh, he was good, wouldn't he?
You know, I don't think he'll. Yeah, he was very good, but they probably, you know, Ian Wright would be more of a laugh.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
To do that, and people used to boo me when I used to announce Ian Wright as the man of the match, which I thought was a bit harsh.
Really? Yeah. That'd be. I mean, it is in a strange. Position in the game now, in a game where things are not being not going brilliantly, and then you have to make the man of the match announcement.
But okay, you got booed. You got booed that time. He was on the bench and never came on, and was announced as man of the match.
Did I?
Yeah, I remember that quite clearly.
I think that was probably you.
Hang on, I got booed for announcing someone as man of the match that didn't come on.
They were just booing you. Just booing you.
Can I just tell you my favourite moment from that Manchester United game? Because I sit in the fifth row of the dugout. I hear all the things that people shout at sometimes our team, but mainly at the other team. And Fergie had a little red hat on.
Yeah.
And he never wears a hat, does he?
No.
And so when he was shouting at the ref, someone shouted out, "Oi, Noddy, sit down."
Yeah.
That was my favourite one. And the second favourite one was, "Oi, Fergie, your face is nearly as red as your hat."
Yes, yes.
There's a bloke with a really loud voice that shouts some brilliant things out.
Yes, Fergie was very noticeable with that hat, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Freezing cold day, bright red nose. We'll go back to talking about the game, but we have those of you that know about WikiLeaks will know that we, a long time ago, trumped WikiLeaks when I think it was this time last Christmas. We used the supercomputer down here at Playback Media to hack into emails of professional footballers, and it was then that we discovered the first of Radoslav Kovac's emails to his mum back in the Czech Republic. And there's been a little bit of a groundswell on Facebook of people that would like to hear more emails from Radoslav Kovac. So we have another one here. Dear's mama, is me your son Radoslav Kovac? It's funny how he, every time we read one of these, we observe how strange it is that he writes to his mother in a kind of broken English, when you'd assume that he'd either write in perfect English or Czech, but for some reason he writes in this strange, stilted, broken English.
He has to confirm his surname as well.
I suppose he does, which is odd, isn't it? Because you'd think his mother...
He might know, she might know.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe his mother has had many men in her life and her children have a number of surnames.
But even though the words are English, the accent you're doing is very authentically Czech.
I'm not doing an accent. I'm simply reading it as it is on the paper. I'm very good at accents, though. Is me your son, Radoslav Kovac? Thanks you so much for mine's Xmas present, which I have pick up yesterday from Felixstowe Freight Terminal. She is very nice, and now mine's bachelor pad is sparkly new, clean and hoover, and mine clothes are all ironed. She is kind and hardly ever complain. Just sometimes, I am's hungry. Why can't I go outside? And occasionally, not right now, mine's vagina is still sore. I haven't decided on a name yet, but I might call her after one of West Ham's owner. I will call her Goldie. She says her name is Svetlana. Ha 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 ha. Mama, I want to come home. Vampire manager Avram Grants have made me play a whole match in freezing cold weather last week. We plays against Manchester United's third most popular team in Manchester. I can't remember the score, but mine's testicles were small and frightened. They was so cold. Mama, and funny thing happen. You would laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Mama, and's complete stranger ran on to pitch. I am's not joke. I don't know where he comes from. And he starts to play with us. Security men's didn't even see him, silly men's. He was dressed like us, but I have never seen him before. And get this. He scored 2's goal and referee lets goal stand. It's strong argument for goal line technology. King of Scotland, Lord Sir King Alex Ferguson, was so angry his nose light up all red. And get this, strange man's name is Jonathan Speculum, just like I have in my drawer. And now, even though transfer window is shut, he play instead of me. Result! Yesterday I sit all snuggly warm and watch everyone's running around in the snow in a place called Slumberland. Only in UK do they name town after bedshop. Mama, say happy Xmas to Papa. Tell him I hope things pick up and not to worry. Xmas is always an slow time for arms dealing. Send more hair gel. Your loving son, Radoslav Kovac.
Very good.
Hey, interesting.
Mm. And we managed to hack into his email account to get that that email.
Mm. Yeah, done well to get that.
So yes, Jonathan Spector. I've got the Wikipedia entry for Jonathan Spector. We won't talk about that now, but we'll go into the match. He got into the side after his excellent performance last week, and I thought played well from the highlights I saw.
Yeah. Obviously, it would have been hard to leave him out after such a great performance against Manchester United. But at the same time, I think there was a swell of opinion that you shouldn't judge him on one game.
No.
After being public enemy number one for so long.
Yeah, that was unfair, wasn't it? Because he was sort of played at left back. He was dreadful against Manchester United, it has to be said.
You remember?
The league game.
I remember he played against Burnley in that game we won 5-3 last season. And he made a couple of terrific runs into the box and won a penalty.
Yeah.
So, you know that he's got that kind of ability. But
And one thing Jim always points out, it was when he was played at right back one year, he marked Ronaldo pretty much out of the game in an Upton Park game. It might have been one of the ones we won. There was a Collins and Ferdinand two headers in a 2-1, wasn't
there? Upson and Ferdinand,
yeah, that's right. And I think maybe that's the one Jim's talking about. So he's a good player, and ex-Manchester United players that they let go are often, you know, they've got something about them. Savage, for as much as we dislike him, is actually a decent player, and Greening is as well. Mm. Not sure about Luke Chadwick, but, you know, they let players go. But the reason they signed them in the first place is they've got a little bit of something about them, and I think Spector does too. That turn he did a couple of times yesterday, that kind of inside-out turn, worked extremely well for him, I think.
Well, for me, that was the highlight of the game as far as West Ham were concerned. That was something that actually made me get out of my seat and sort of applaud, because it was a bit of invention, it was a bit of creativity in an otherwise
is a doer game.
10 men behind the ball kind of performance.
Spector's finish against Man U for his second goal was really good as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, he placed that really well with the outside of his boot, put it exactly where he meant to, and jumped on a piece of opportunism on, you know, the stumble from one of those two twins. I don't know which one Manchester United have.
One of them came
Ashley Olsen and the Olsen twins, aren't they? I don't know.
One of them came on for the other one, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. It's very confusing.
Ridiculous. But he was a good goal, though, because it was a great run through, and then he put it to Obinna sort of stepped on the ball, and it was almost like Spector went, oh, have I got to do everything? And he came charging in and just cleared up and put it in.
Which is
the way he strode forward like that, though, with such purpose.
Yeah.
And then tucked it away so clinically.
But I would think if you've played it in defence for all that time, and every time you've got forward, you've thought, oh, probably better think about going back, I better not keep going. And suddenly, you're free of your shackles. You think, you know what, I'll go forward, because if I mess up, somebody else will have to run back.
Yeah, that's right.
Or I can always say, oh, I'm a defender.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Carlton Cole scored two goals. Again, his turn to turn O'Shea was great. Did he deserve to go straight back in the team? There's a couple of... that's been discussed on our Facebook group quite a lot.
Well, in yesterday's game against Sunderland, he did that turn again and it only just went past the post.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so. Absolutely. He did also... I mean, I only saw the highlights of the game. I didn't see the game, but one of the... and I'm going to use the high in a very loose sense in the term highlights, was him being put clean through, and then his first touch being so incredibly heavy that you go, well, this is dribbling. This is something that people are supposed to be able to do, not bash the ball as far as you can into the kind of, you know, the zone where the two central defenders are, and then try and sort of fight them for it. You know, it was kind of annoying, and I think certainly Jim felt that Piquion should have gone back in and put Carlton back on the bench.
Yeah, I don't think Carlton's done enough this season to warrant the number of starts that he has, to be fair. He's consistently underperformed since he came back from his injury.
Yeah, yeah.
But having scored twice, I think the manager was probably thinking, you know,
it's going to be hard to leave.
A lot of the thing with Carlton, I think, is confidence. And whenever he's confident, he scores a lot of goals. And he just scored two. He thought, I'll shove him back in. And if that ball had gone in instead of going just wide of the post, everyone was saying, what a great decision.
The thing that surprised me was that, you know, Grant seems to think Piquion is the answer to everything. He talks him up all the time and thinks that he's the best thing since sliced bread. And yet, he had the opportunity to play him yesterday, and possibly the team would have had a better shape.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I'm not an expert on tactics, as I said earlier.
You did say that earlier. I think that's right. I think Piquion just clearly has a bit more about him than Cole at the moment. And the fact that Cole scored those goals just shouldn't mean that you drop Piquion to the bench. It just doesn't make sense. Piquion, you know, is able to put a ball in a goal and has a little bit more about him going forward. And if you feel that you've put a player into your midfield that strengthens the midfield, like Spectre, well, get someone on the end of it who's more likely to stick it in the goal than this guy that's just had a late flourish in the last couple of games. Well, last game, in fact.
But people just moan about everything, don't they? You know, we've got three strikers and there's two places to start. So one of them has to be on the bench. And everyone moans, oh, I should have started with him. Mm. Well, he's still going to come on, isn't he? Piquion still came on.
Well, I think, but I think Cole can come off the bench as a, you know, a sort of super sub. And I think Piquion just has a little bit more about him when you're starting up, you know, and trying to kind of set your stall out. I think Piquion links stuff up better.
I think the first 15 minutes of any game are very important. And when you've got the energy of Piquion and a Binner at your disposal to run at defences, it's much better used than having the sort of battering ram of Carlton Cole.
Yes. Mark Thomas here has emailed us. Simple one. This: if we're bad enough to go down, then let it be so that we can rebuild and not have delusions about being a Premiership club. He later goes on to say, you should never pass up a cup run or the chance to beat Manchester United. I've been living off that for a week out here. Mark Thomas here lives in the Caymans, I believe, and sent us a cake. In fact, in true test match special style, Mark sent us a cake. That's right. I remember that. Hello, Mark. It's been a long time since Mark's been in touch. So we can rebuild and not have delusions about being a Premiership club with this current lineup. No point in scraping in by goal difference or 1 point each year and putting me and you through annual heartburn avoiding the drop. This is sort of quite an interesting point. I think
heartburn?
Heartburn, yeah.
Heartburn?
Well, there's heartache.
Yeah, the heartache or heart failure, but not heartburn. You
heartburn
get that from
what you get from indigestion.
From overeating.
Heartburn is the silent killer, Jeremy, and I won't have you mock it so publicly.
For me, I get heartburn if I have a very spicy curry and then go to bed quite... Because as soon as you lie down, then the acid reflux will come up. But relegation has never given me heartburn. It's given me heartache. And for that reason, I'm out.
Well, it's just me and you, Rob, now.
Well, I think I want to see the profit and loss account before I make a decision on that one.
Me too.
Yeah, I can't see anyone ever saying, oh, yes, the heartburn of relegation. That's just rubbish. Give me that. Who wrote that?
I'll give it to you. There you
Let's name and shame them again. Mark Thomas. Is that the comedian?
No.
No.
I said he lives in the Cayman Islands.
Well, he'd need to do if he makes rubbish like
Mark
that.
Mark Thomas lives in Clapham.
Yeah.
Andrew Griffin says, it's now 16 games into the league season and it would appear that Uncle Avram still does not have a clue what his best formation or side is. I mean, this is
Of course he knows what his best side is, but the rotating players.
Yes, it's the rotation of players is something that clearly is happening.
In a successful side, you do that and you say, oh, it's brilliant the way they rotate the squad. In an unsuccessful one, they say, oh, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. I did feel one thing that was posited on the Facebook group was
posited.
Yeah, posited. To posit something.
Ooh,
oh. You're supposed to be a speaker for a living.
Okay.
To posit something.
What does it mean?
To suggest something. Okay. To posit something. God, this has got tense. I thought you were out. I thought me and Rob were just going to carry on doing this and you were going to chip mean remarks in from
the side.
I've
heard of deposit.
No, posit. Anyway,
something to do with pose, no doubt.
Is it? Propose? Exactly. Yep. Someone on the Facebook group said the tactics at Sunderland were 10 men behind the ball, hope to hit them on the break, reminiscent of Kirbishley. And they make the good point, and wasn't it notable how quickly the fans turned against him, even though we finished 10th, with chance of two fucking negative, attack, wins actually being booed. And it's an sort of extraordinary time. But the tactics were incredibly tedious to watch. And I wonder whether Avram is not losing it, but is in a slight sort of tailspin of going, maybe we need to play very conservatively when we go away from home and hope to hit them on the break.
We are in as a club, we are in a very difficult situation always because of our heritage. And if any manager that comes in is going to be expected to play football.
Our footballing heritage.
And win games with style. And it can't always be done in this current league. You know, sometimes you do need to scratch out a 1-0 win, even at home. Mm. And certainly in our current situation, you know, nights like Tuesday night are not going to come along every 5 minutes. So I think the fans have to, you know, we all have to take a bit of a reality pill and say, if staying in this league means we've got to scratch eyes and pull hair, then, you know, that's what we've got to do. And
talking of which, Luis Boamorte has kind of returned to the
nice link.
Towering, solid, mahogany statue of rage, just condensed anger and rage that he was a couple of years ago, where he was performing badly but was also a liability because you sense he could be sent off. Yeah. 15 minutes into the game, that feels like it's creeping back in slightly. He's put some fantastic balls through for eventual goals this season and has performed a lot better. In the last couple of games, however, he's been back to his angry worst.
You're referring to that incident 6 minutes into the game where he went in 2 feet on the bloke off Red Dwarf.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Kieran Richardson.
Yeah.
And what didn't get much mention was that Kieran Richardson then deliberately stamped on his ankle.
Yeah.
And that didn't get mentioned, did it?
No.
By, you know...
Well, he was worried he wasn't going to get to do the next episode of Toshiki Castle, or whatever it's called. So
that's right, yeah. Apparently he's in Coronation Street now as well.
He is, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
He does well, but he did...
For a cocaine dealer.
Always someone's we'll got snip, to spoil
we'll
it, haven't
we'll
you?
Snip that. We'll See, snip that out in the edit.
You make that difficult. You know, Imran's got to make a decision now, hasn't he? He's not a lawyer. Look at him, he's wearing a hat indoors.
He is a lawyer. He is a lawyer, Jeremy. Why must you try and crush Imran's dreams? He is a lawyer. If he wants to be a lawyer, he is one.
Okay. Now, I feel sorry for the lad, because he has to sit through all the rubbish from the Spurs and Arsenal Man United podcasts, and then he gets his own one here and he can't even mount his own defence. Anyway, we're cutting this bit out, so let's move on.
Imran's been allowed to chip in whenever he wants, Jeremy.
Stop mentioning Imran, because we've got to lose all that other bit up to that point, so people won't understand the reference.
We never edit. This is like a Bob Dylan box set. Everything stays in.
Oh, okay.
Even
the bad bits. Mainly the bad bits.
How dare you? There are no bad bits.
So Luis Boamorte's been getting quite physical, is what we were talking about, weren't we? But I think it was very harsh the other week when he was substituted and I announced him and people booed.
I know. I thought that's harsh. A bad phenomenon, I think.
It was noticeable, though, with that every single player came to shake his hand as he left the pitch.
Absolutely. Well, I think the whole phenomenon of booing at Upton Park is... It's happening in grounds across the country. Yes, so do I.
Why do people boo our own players? I just hate it. I mean, I respect their right to do it if they paid their money, but... To be honest, there's some people that just boo people very, very easily. And Lewis has, you know, he tries his hardest every game. And he's had some good games this season as well.
He has, yeah.
He's been cracking.
Yeah. I sort of... I, I slightly worry about his, because I feel that angry Lewis is quite often a worse player than non-angry Lewis, and it feels that the Lewis of a couple of years ago, who was getting sort of booed and stuff, which I never condone, but he was playing badly at that time and was also in danger of sort of being sent off. I'd like to see the good Lewis back, but I think there's a sort of, you know, Spector's introduction into the midfield can only be sort of good in a sense. There's a sort of rumour of us buying Sidwell, isn't there, in the transfer window? And I feel like another midfielder is not something we need at this point. Unless they were a super creative midfielder, like another sort of Ben Ayoun or something.
I do feel
like
that the midfield for the last 2 years, with Diamanti being the exception, has lacked that creative player that can play the killer ball.
Absolutely,
I
yeah.
think, you know, a lot of people have said, well, Noble can play the killer ball, but I don't think
When's that going to happen?
He can play the killer ball, but he doesn't do it often enough in the sort of Devonshire, Brooking.
You know, exactly.
You know, he won't beat two players and then play a clever pass.
He's no Ian Bishop, is what I think we're saying here.
Oh. He does tend to play it forward a lot more than Ian Bishop did. That's true.
Bishop was fantastic. Was fantastic on his game. Bishop was one of the best players I've seen at Upton Park, I think.
Okay,
he was. Email us your views to hammertime@playbackmedia.co.uk. Only if you like Ian Bishop.
I'm always trying to be positive, but Ian Bishop clearly wasn't one of the best players ever at West Ham.
Jim and I think he was great.
One of the most iconic, probably.
He had long hair. He had long hair, so you remember him.
He was fantastic.
Are you joking?
Yeah. No, I'm not. Barely straight out of the centre circle. Fantastic sort of slide roll passes. Controlled the game from...
Right. You are joking, that's fine.
No, I'm not. Generally, it's like the...
You don't think Ian Bishop was one of the best players you've ever seen at West Ham?
He'd be up there. I thought he was a great player.
I vote for Tommy McQueen, then.
Yeah, I'll go Mike Small, then, if we're being silly.
I do know what a good footballer is, but Ian Bishop, I thought, was one.
Did you?
Yeah, Dan, Jim.
I think for a while he thought he was as well.
Where's Jim?
Yeah. No, he was all right, wasn't he?
But email us your views at hammertime@playbackmedia.co.uk. You can get all our links for Facebook, Twitter and iTunes at westhampodcast.com. Or follow us at twitter.com/westhampodcast. This week, Kayla Grant, Kieran Shalhoub and Daniel Jensen, amongst many others, have done so. And you can get our iPhone app at bit.ly/West Ham app. Talking of technology, we talked about WikiLeaks earlier. I went onto Wikipedia to find out just who Jonathan Spector is, and this is his Wikipedia entry. Jonathan Spector is an American-born EPL soccer player from Sunnydale, a fictional town in America. He also played the character John in the popular television show Thunderbirds. His favoured position is substitute. His professional playing career began in 1989, citation needed, since which time he has started 5 matches, citation needed. Despite this, he is still only 16 years old. You can actually laugh out loud. You don't have to suppress your laughs. When I did the letter earlier, both of you were like sort of suppressing. It's quite good if there's like a posse, like on a radio show, you know. Spector acquired his boyish good looks whilst at Manchester United after Sir Alex Ferguson destroyed his original face with a belt sander after Spector referred to football as soccer twice in one afternoon. His first appearance for West Ham United was as one of the Hammerettes due to his cheerleading experience growing up in the States. Controversy has dogged Spector's career. In 2007, TV microphones picked up an expletive-filled rant directed at referee Rob Stiles. Spector was heard to say, "Well now, consarn it, ref, that's a heck of a thing to do. That was our throw-in, by criminy." Spector was banned for 11 matches pending a translation. Every year, Spector auditions for the lead role in the West Ham musical, along with shy, beautiful newcomer Karen Brady. This despite the best efforts to thwart their dreams and stand in the way of their love by jealous diva, Carl Fletcher's wife. Similarities have been noted between the life of Spectre and the plot of the much-loved Christmas film It's a Shit Life, wherein Clarence, an angel, returns to Earth in order to show a pair of football managers, one a tiny Italian and the other a scary Israeli vampire man-mountain, how different the world might have been had they picked Jonathan Spectre occasionally, instead of making him play left-back once in a blue moon. He was fined a week's wages for riding his skateboard on the pavement, and another week's wages for travelling back in time and causing a truckload of manure to tip into a car belonging to a rival gang of high school jocks led by Wolves midfielder Carl Henry. And that's the entry on Jonathan Spencer in Wikipedia.
But the thing is, anyone can put stuff on Wikipedia, so that could just be made up.
I doubt it, though. I doubt it. That sounds pretty much like his life, I think.
Mm, some of it rung true, but not all of it.
Really?
When I checked it last week, it just said shit American football.
Well, there you are, yeah. Quite often they're quite terse, those entries, aren't they?
I think so.
They're very terse. Rob wrote in 1995 the book An Irrational Hatred of Luton, in the litany of great football books, The Damned United by David Peace, The Football Factory by John King, or Harry Redknapp's Creative Accounting Techniques and Tax-Free Investment Opportunities in Central America. An Irrational Hatred of Luton sits up with them as a leader of the brand, footballing books. It was republished in 1996 and has just been republished this year, and as I've said, you should buy it for all your Christmas needs. I demand it, and someone buy me one.
For all your Christmas needs.
All your Christmas
needs. Every single Christmas need?
Yeah.
If you roast it, will it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the foreword for this edition of it is written by none other than Jeremy Nicholas.
It is. It's true.
Amazing coincidence.
Turns out I can write. And it was a Legends theme we were doing, because Tony Cotty did the original one, and I've done the reissue, so...
So it's Legends all the way?
It's either Legends or it's quite short blokes. It's one of those themes that they're doing.
Well, I would say your forward is a lot longer than Tony Cotty's forward, which was about a paragraph. And it did get the title.
He mainly writes
forward by a short forward.
He mainly writes... Nicely done. A short forward by a short forward. Nicely done.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. He mainly writes diary entries about goals he's scored. So he's used to keeping things. He has to keep things inside a little panel with a date on it.
I think he's torn it out and put it in his scrapbook.
I hope so.
Mm. I do. That's my favourite joke so far, short forward.
It is an excellent joke.
Yeah.
Well done, Rob.
Yeah. We'll put that in the highlight sequence at the end with the music when they...
Yeah. Yeah. But 1995 is when it was originally written. Mm. Are there any changes to the new version?
There are new photographs.
New photographs.
Due to an inability to source the copyright on the original ones.
We don't get relegated at all in the new version.
Yeah, and in the new version we all live happily ever after. Yeah. But
when you say new photographs, surely the photographs you want to illustrate are the same things as in the original book.
Absolutely.
Is it like those things where I see those naked women with Jennifer Aniston's head on in the internet? Have you photoshopped some new pictures for it?
Well, I was sent some photographs. They were obviously all contemporary from sort of mid-70s through to mid-90s.
Right.
There's no new photographs in there. But no, I had to do new captions for them all, and some of which are better than others, obviously. But I was particularly proud of the one of Frank McAvenny and his wife standing in front of a F-Reg Audi.
Oh, yeah.
And the caption being, Frank McAvenny shows off his clapped-out old banger. And an F-Reg Audi.
Yes. We've had Frank on this show.
Oh, I'd like to meet him.
Yeah, he's great.
I'd love to meet him.
He's a great guy.
Not after that joke, though.
No. And a new chapter at the end.
Yeah, there's a new chapter at the end, which sort of brings everybody up to date as to what's been happening, because I lived in Yorkshire for 7 years.
Right.
And was largely out of touch with everything, but came back in February of last year.
They've still not got telly up there?
No, everything's steam-driven still, and everyone gets around by pony and trap.
And 15 years is a long time. We were really struggling in those days, weren't we? We were
not like now, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. What a strange thing to say.
Oh, in those days times were hard.
Yeah. It was sort of that season 96-97 that we bought Hartson and Kitson, and the kind of brief revival happened. Early 90s times, we were past all the bond scheme sort of ructions, but we still weren't playing great.
No, because Ian Dowie was injured for quite a long time, wasn't he? So we were struggling to score.
We were struggling to score goals. Bishop was past his prime, and we were...
continued to play for another 6 years.
That's not his fault. Yeah. That's not his fault. Harry Redknapp's fault. He played an ageing Ludek McClosco to the point at which fans began booing Ludek McClosco, one of the best goalkeepers we've ever had. Mm-hmm. You know, because the club were too mean to try and buy a new one, McClosco played to the point where he was not the man he was and was consequently booed by the fans. Harry Redknapp's fault. Harry Redknapp played Julian Dix, whose knee was sort of held together by a blue tack, in a wing back formation against Charlton when we got beat 4-0. And was it 4? Did 4-2. We score?
Yeah.
And then blamed Julian Dix after the game. Blamed him. Dix never played wing back, was one of the all time great players. Mm. He played him despite the fact that he was, you know, his knee was wrecked.
You'll have to get him back on your book, because once he goes down his Harry Redknapp, his evil route, you'll never get him back. And Harry was a lovely man. He was a brilliant manager for us. He just one day he had a bit of an argument with the chairman, he didn't about some funds, and then suddenly left. And, you know,
I don't think anyone would be arguing, to be fair, if Harry was still at the club and had been with us for 20 years.
Where would we be now if Harry was still the manager? We'd be in the Champions League. Wouldn't we?
Yes, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
Well, you'd follow the chain of events back. We certainly wouldn't have appointed Glenn Roeder.
No, we wouldn't.
And there, everything goes...
Harry backwards. Was a bit rubbish at the time. And we weren't sad to see him go. This revisionism is misguided. We were all happy to see him go at the time.
Were we?
When he went. Yes.
Harry?
Yes, we were.
Yeah. I wasn't. Yeah. I was very upset.
He did waste an awful lot of money.
Yes,
on the likes of...
And he had no tactical acumen inside the 90 minutes of a match. When he went to Portsmouth, he got people around him like Joe Jordan.
You need to get him off, Harry. Get him back on your book.
Tony Adams and people that sort of helped, you know.
So anyway, my book.
Yes. Are you a different West Ham fan from the one that wrote the book in 95? Yeah. I suppose it's quite apposite.
You're a lot older on it, aren't you?
I
suppose it's quite apposite that we are in a kind of period of struggle as the book comes out to fit in with the mood.
But, you know, you look back on it and you think, well, yeah, we've had periods as a club when we've had successful teams, but they tend to be like one season at a time, don't they? Really, we are perennial strugglers. Let's face it. And I think you have to be a certain type of person to be a West Ham fan.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
You have to laugh in the face of adversity, because if you didn't, you'd just keel over and die, wouldn't you?
For me, with the book, there wasn't an awful lot of hatred of Luton in it.
That's why it's irrational, Jeremy.
Ah.
You see, the deep-seated hatred of Luton, and a lot of people have lost sight of this now because 15 years on, maybe it's not, you know, it's not as contemporary.
They weren't our big rivals,
you think back to the early 80s, think back to record-breaking promotion season. They were the only side to beat us at Upton Park.
Yes.
I believe. And then...
Is a big focus of it the FA Cup campaign, which must have been in about that time, with the Scott Oakes goal.
But the reason it's irrational is because there's lots of irritating little things that they did. They beat us at home in the 85-86 season as well, you know, finishing third. They had a plastic pitch. They had that membership scheme, which nearly stopped me doing every game in 86-87.
Just
about made it. It was just they were like the fly in the ointment of the first division at that time.
But your revenge is being exacted now, though, because they are in the Blue Square League.
Absolutely.
My mate Mike Fox sports Luton. Mm.
But they did sell us Tim Breaker, didn't they? So
they did. Ah. Mike Small came from Brighton, didn't he?
Johnny Hartson played for them, didn't he, before he played for the Arsenal?
Did he?
Wasn't he at Luton?
Yes, he started
at Luton. Johnny Hartson was at Luton, yeah.
Still, it's not enough, really.
Not enough, but as you say, it's irrational.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it was only having sort of reviewed the script. I came with lots of different titles and couldn't really settle on one. And I came up with this stupid title that I put on the front of the manuscript, and the publisher said, no, you're going to have to change that. And everyone who saw it said, what a brilliant title.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to keep that. So it stuck.
No, it's a very pleasing title for a book. Mm. I demand you all buy it. Now we have we should sort of wrap this up fairly soon. We have Manchester United at the weekend.
Manchester City.
Yes.
We beat United 4-0, don't we? Remember, we missed the opportunity to sledge those United fans that were in here earlier with their southern accent.
We'll snip me, say, United out of the final edit of the show.
Oh, will we?
Yeah, we'll snip them.
That's a pity.
The City.
Does it give me a chance, though, to mention that I got on Soccer AM on Saturday morning? You know, they have like their third eye feature where they best moments from games. When I don't know if you remember it from the Manchester United game, but I announced the substitution of the ball.
Yes.
Because the yellow ball came on because it snowed. And I said, leaving the field, the white ball.
Yeah.
Please welcome the yellow ball.
Yes.
And everyone clapped. And that made it on Soccer AM.
That was an excellent moment. Yeah, that was very, very funny.
Very much. The devil made me do it. I was a bit giggly because we were 3-0 up at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought I might get told off, but I haven't been.
Fergie might have said it was a turning point.
You look for comic opportunities in the bleakest of moments, and that's why...
How bleak was beating 3-0 Manchester United?
No. I'm talking about generally bleakest of moments. That's the point I'm making.
Okay.
I'm trying to give you a compliment.
I apologise for my confrontational attitude, but I've been possessed by Lewis Beaumont.
That's right.
Aggressive spirit.
You need to listen to... If you go back through our archive of Hammer Time episodes, I think I played an excerpt from the Lewis Beaumont relaxation tape, Chillax with Lewis Beaumont, which if you... I don't know what episode it's in, but if you look on iTunes, you can find all our back episodes, and it's played during the course of that.
Manchester City. Ooh, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Carlos coming back.
Yes, that's right. The fans marked him out of the game time before last that United came here. Mm. And he did the old crosshammers. That's going to be good, isn't it?
Yeah. I seem to remember last season, the fans chanting, "Let him score." Which I don't think I've ever heard ever before. I can't think of a more popular returning player.
No.
Ever.
He doesn't like the manager of his own team, does he, very much?
No, he was furious, wasn't he?
He was sort of unprofessional.
He almost ripped his snood off. That's how angry he
was. That's right. When you're in a kind of snood tearing rage, I've seen Naomi Campbell in one of those rages, and you don't want to see that too much.
I would like to think that at some point Carlos Tevez is taking a penalty against the Bobby Moore lower, and everyone in the Bobby Moore lower does the crossed hammers just to remind him, and then he blasts it over.
Yeah.
That would be a great moment, wouldn't it? If it was an American film about our season, that would be it, wouldn't it?
The whole
crowd doing the crosshammers. He blasts it over and then...
Yeah.
We'd have to have Sylvester Stallone in goal, though.
Yeah.
That's the only
Escape to Victory.
Oh, classic
film. Like in Escape to Victory. We're an all-star for Bobby Moore in it.
Russell Osman.
John Wark from Ipswich.
Kevin O'Callaghan.
Yeah.
A lot of Ipswich players were in it for some reason.
Bobby Robson, the director, was he?
I don't know.
Of that film?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, almost certainly. Yeah, Bobby Robson's film directing career is barely written about, is
underrated.
It? We should write a book. About his directing career.
And talking of books, who do you think's more likely to be the new manager of Newcastle, Alan Pardew or Alan Kirbishley?
That's right. Today, Chris Hughton has been sacked as manager of Newcastle by the idiots.
Ashley's an idiot.
Absolutely insane. And Southampton's Alan Pardew has been sort of mooted as the replacement manager. What's that all about?
Good luck, Alan, is all I can say, because anyone that works for that idiot of a chairman wants their head tested.
Poison chalice, isn't it?
I mean, man's a fool.
The players like Hughton as well. I mean, everything.
What a brilliant job Hughton's done up there. Mm.
Fantastic.
And don't forget, had a fantastic season at West Ham as a right back during promotion campaign.
Yes, he did. That's right. We had another Spurs for Mitchell Thomas, of course. Oh. Mitchell Thomas played for us very poorly, didn't he?
Very
painful when he's thinking, isn't it? His whole face.
Steam coming out.
Who's that guy who also played for Spurs that took retirement and only Tirico came out for a couple of games? Yeah, Spurs.
He scored for Brighton the other day, didn't he?
Did he?
Didn't he? Or was I dreaming? Anyway,
I don't know. Anyway, we have to do this. Predictions, scores, Saturday, Man City.
Manchester City, 1-0 West Ham, goal scored by Konko!
Blimey.
Ooh, I feel like I'm there.
That's big.
I can't see us winning on Saturday. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw, and our goal will come from... You know, I think it might be Carlton Cole.
Good.
He'll bounce in off his arse.
I can't help thinking if you predict a West Ham win, people are more likely to buy your book.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think so.
4-0.
Hat trick from Johnny.
Hat trick for Spectre.
Johnny Specs.
Ghosting in at the far post.
I can't say what either of you have said. That's the rules. I will have to go 2-2.
Can I just hope it's a little bit warmer soon?
Yeah.
Because I don't know how many layers you're putting on, but it takes me forever to get all my layers on now.
Less layers than Carlos Tevez, though.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
All right, this has been it for this week's Stop Hammer Time. With me were Rob Banks.
Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Jem Nicholas.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Imran, who's never allowed to say anything.
Well, thanks a lot, then. Thanks.
You're doing his voice, Jem.
No one would have known that was me doing it, because that was very authentic.
They would have said, no, it wasn't.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
because that's exactly how he does sound.
And we'll see you next time. Come on, you irons.
Bye.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at westhampodcast.com. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on this podcast, please call our marketing partners Sports Revolution on 0207 580 2850 or drop them a line at info@sportsrevolution.co.uk.